It's Monday, March 25th, 2024, in the Pat Price Tech Talk Training Room. And tonight we're here to talk about glidants. And Amos Miller is going to help us with that. To introduce Amos, is somebody who chatted with him for a very long time at CSUN, John Gassman.
Amos is the founder and CEO of Glidants, and he's been in technology for quite a long time. A lot of you might remember him from Microsoft a few years ago and Soundscape. I had a chance to spend some time with Amos about an hour or so. We just stood around and talked about Glidants, and I was able to participate in a demo as well. It was really a lot of fun and a very interesting topic that everybody seems to be talking about. And so I'm hoping that if you can visit one of the shows in the summer, and you'll be able to see Glidants for yourself. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of webinars on it as well between now and then. But here to talk about Glidants is the founder and CEO of the product, Amos Miller. Welcome to Tech Talk.
John, thank you. It's great to be here, and Larry and everybody else. Happy to be here and have a chat.
Tell us a little bit. I mean, we know you from Soundscape. I can't remember now if we ever had you talk about Soundscape. Maybe
on Main Menu.
Maybe we did. We did on Main Menu. That's right. But not
I think
on
Main Menu. We right. Did,
yeah.
Yes.
So that was a product in and of itself that was a very popular product. And then you developed Glidants. Tell us how all of that began.
Okay, sure. So as you said, John, I'm the founder and CEO of Glidants, and we'll talk about that in a lot of detail. But just as by way of background, first of all, I'm blind myself. I drew the lucky straw with retinitis pigmentosa way back when, and lost most of my sight in my 20s. Learned to use the cane while I was at college. Picked up continued to train with a guide dog, and I'm now on my sixth dog. So you can do the calculation. Although I had a few short-term dogs in the middle, I'm with Boots today. Living here in Seattle, and as you said, I spent many years at Microsoft as well, where I did all kinds of things. But in the past 10 years or so, focused on assistive technology in Microsoft research, which led to the development of Soundscape, and I've worked on that for a number of years. And I think as the evolution of Soundscape continued, from my own life experience, as well as really seeing some of the experiences that some of the Soundscape users have had, I've begun to see that the people who really benefit from a product like Soundscape and some of the other technologies that we bring to market, or that different companies bring, really, when it comes to mobility and orientation and getting around confidently, these technologies very much help the people who are to some extent already out there. And I saw that for the people for whom it's much harder to get about independently and who are reliant on sighted assistance, we don't really have a great solution, and that led to sort of the consideration of what would the solution like that look like, feel like, be like, and I can go into more detail, of course, but basically that's what I reached this kind of moment of realization that really what is really going to help somebody who lost their sight later in life and is maybe struggling with the use of the cane would be something that is actually physically connected to the ground and guides them. And that kind of concept evolved into a bunch of prototypes, which I tested with people, which then led to the development of Glide. So that's kind of the brief background, and I can talk now about what Glide is, if now is the time, John.
Now is a great time.
Now is a great time. And by the way, I welcome any, like I said, hands up at any point in time, please. I'm making some bold broad comments here around the state of orientation and mobility, and I'm very happy to go into the debates and so that we can really move forward in the right way. So what is Glide? Just to clarify, Glidance is the name of the company and Glide is the name of the product. Glide is a mobility aid, first of all. It is a mobility aid that comes alongside the cane or the guide dog. And Glide is a mobility aid that uses autonomous driving technology to help guide the person on the route. So basically the way that if you haven't kind of got your head around what it looks like, what it feels like, imagine a long handle that extends from your hand. You kind of hold it somewhere around where you'd hold the harness of a guide dog. And the handle extends at 45 degrees in front of you and rests on a pair of wheels side by side. The wheels are about 7 inches apart. And then the way that it works is that you hold the handle, you nudge it forward, and the wheels begin to steer. They steer automatically, basically they steer autonomously based on the sensors and the camera and everything that the device can see in front of it and where it's trying to get you. So they steer a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, and you basically kind of follow where the device is going. If it sees an obstacle, it'll steer around that obstacle. It'll try to work to keep you on a safe path, whether it's a sidewalk outside, a corridor inside. And it can also guide you towards a line of sight destinations. And we can kind of talk later on about all the potential beyond the current capabilities. But that's the general idea. And maybe just one other comment before we can move into more questions. It is not, the wheels are not motorized. So you actually nudge the device forward. And it's basically you are in full control of the device. It's not going to drag you around. You can walk really slowly, you can walk fast, you can walk, you can accelerate or slow down as you like, and the device will work with you. And one of the things that we have is there's the handle where you hold Glide is a haptic handle, and there's also speakers in the handle, and the haptics are useful. For example, if you walk down and you're approaching a curb and the device is gonna apply the brakes, it does have brakes in the wheels. As you approach the curb, it will give you a signal in the handle and with haptics to slow down if you're going too fast. Before you get to the curb, it'll kind of indicate for you to slow down because we're about to stop. And that's kind of the general idea. So I'll pause here. John, you had the chance to experience some of this. So please feel free to flesh out and enrich. How did you feel about this idea of you controlling the speed without the device pulling you around?
I really liked it. Now, I'm a lifelong cane user. I've played with many a guide dog, maybe sometimes despite the owner telling me not to. But I haven't used a guide dog in the same sense that dog users have used the dog. But I like the independence of just moving in and out of crowds or around the crowds, which is something that you can't do as easily with a cane without hitting somebody. Now, we were on a flat floor inside of a exhibit hall, so there were no ramps, there were no inclines or declines to deal with. I'm assuming when you cross a street, for example, will it matter? Because I know this is still, you know, being developed as you go. But will it matter that sometimes you have high steps or curbs, rather? Or is it better to take it off of a ramp because it is a, you know, machine?
Yeah, no, I think this is a great, great question. As we started to work on this device, so it does run on wheels. The wheels that you saw are 5.6 inches, so they are not the largest wheels. The next iteration will be 7 inches. And really the goal of the wheels that we're working with is that they can manage on, you know, call it semi-rough terrain, right? Like a sidewalk with bumps, maybe gravel path. The wheels should manage quite perfectly fine on these kind of terrains. And then when you want to go up, so when you go down into the street and up the other side, it should be a fairly smooth ride if you have ramps and tactiles. If it's a curb that doesn't have a curb cut in it, maybe it's worth saying that one of the direct answer to how do we handle steps into situations effectively when you have to pick up the device is that it is designed to be light and portable. So it's currently a little heavier than our goal weight. Our goal weight is 5 pounds for the whole device, and with a handle that is easy, makes it easy to lift it up. So if you do need to get to the curb and you need to kind of pick it up to get up the curb, that should be easy to do. You can also drag it up the curb because the wheels will just roll up the curb if you wanted to do that. But we don't have currently a specific curb climbing or step climbing solution.
Amos, I missed CSUN, as I mentioned earlier. This is the first one I've missed in years. I was on a plane headed towards Seattle for a radio convention.
In Bellevue, just across the lake from where I am.
Exactly. And it rained on us, but we were inside most of the time, so it didn't rain much on us, but it did rain. You talked about the fact that when you're using this, you're up, you walk along, and you eventually get to a curb, and something communicates to you in the handle. And I'm curious about what do you feel when that communicates to you? And is this something you have to learn ahead of time about what the various signals mean prior to you actually using it, so that you know what it's communicating?
So look, Larry, it's first of all, we are still working on that sort of interaction. And these are the kind of interactions that we will be working, you know, very hard with the community to refine and make it super obvious. We know, and I know from all my work in many, many years in research, in Microsoft research, that haptics has a limited set of symbols that people can manage. Yeah, beyond a handful of symbols, it starts to just be, hey, what was that? I didn't quite get that, yeah? Our current thinking is to combine the symbols with voice and then allow you to turn off verbosity, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Or voice, sound, and haptic. So once you kind of get what this haptic means, and it's not complicated. I mean, currently what we have is it's actually we have left and right haptics as well in the handle, so you can feel it on the left and on the right hand. So a single buzz is basically slow down. Double buzz basically indicates to you the coast is clear, you can go as fast as you like. So basically, if you walked and it gives you a single buzz because it gets narrow and now it's no longer narrow, then it goes double buzz and you can speed up and the coast is clear. If there's a if the device has to do a sharp turn to the left or to the right, it'll give you a single buzz on the left or on the right. And what we found from testing it with users is that knowing that it's about to take a sharp turn, like let's say it's trying to get you between two tables at a restaurant, right? And you kind of need to take that turn well. It helps that you know what the device is doing. You can actually help it do it. You can move the handle in the opposite direction and help the device make that turn. So it's a bit of a dance, if you like, and those haptic signals help the device communicate with you what it's trying to do so that you can work with the device and kind of move with it smoothly.
Fascinating. It does make sense. So I assume you already put it through its paces with John, and maybe you stood in the way so that it would have to make a decision as to what to do to get around you?
Did people jump in front of you? We found in the... maybe a little bit less at CSUN, but at CES, at the Consumer Electronics Show, when we exhibited the device in Vegas, people really, like just random people, would jump in front of the device to see what
they Okay, I can guarantee you that if you take that to Disneyland, the same thing will happen. And they'll be in strollers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's fun. I don't know if, John, if that happened to you when you did the demos. People jump in front of the device. It is very reactive, but if it can't detect a path to get you there safely enough, it'll apply the brakes. So, so it'll boom, sort of slow you down.
That brings up an interesting question in terms of crossing streets. Would it sense a car coming and put on the brakes if you didn't realize it and were starting to cross the street?
I think this is an area that I wouldn't say that this is that we have a feature programmed to deal with that. I would say that crossing the street, I think the first goal is to keep people walking straight across the street if the crossing allows them to do that, and get the shortest path to the up curb, in the same way that you'd expect a guide dog to guide you. And that's a robotics challenge in its own right. So that's our sort of first goal with street crossings, and in many ways we are saying, you know, the decision about crossing the street is with the individual. We're even thinking of adding a specific button or something that you say that you are ready to cross. So it's very clear that you've decided to go across. Mm-hmm. Whether the sensors of the device, I mean, if there's a car parked in the middle of the way, it will navigate around it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Whether we can make any claims about a car arriving from the side and a device deciding, hey, hold on, this is not safe, I would say that, you know, we'd love to work on that, but you know how tricky that can get.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's the same way that Ira and other devices have said, you know, you've got to have some mobility skills and be able to react and know when it's safe to cross a street. We can't tell you for sure that we're going to be able to prevent anything from happening. So, but I was just curious about that with regard to reaction time. It's probably very difficult to do something like that.
It's possible, but again, I mean, it's also, you know, one of the things I've learned, you know, if you as a user expect and trust that the device will warn you that that a car is coming, you may not pay as much attention mm-hmm. to that, right? And because we know, like, you, we know how when people drive around with a GPS, they don't pay any attention to where right. they're going, right? They're just driving. And then if they have to do the same route without the GPS, or if the GPS takes them to a funny path, they still try to drive through it because people sort of let go of agency. Yeah. And in some situations, it's very, very important that the technology doesn't take away your agency and sort of And I think street crossing is an mm-hmm. example of that. But it doesn't mean that there isn't more that can be done with these kind of technologies. And I think, if I may add here, I think there's a big question with these kind of devices like Glide around people who don't have strong ONM skills. I said in the beginning of the conversation that I actually believe that a device like Glide would empower many, many more people to get out and about, even if they don't have very strong orientation and mobility skills. If somebody's recently lost their sight and are trying to get out of their home again and walk around the block and start to move and get to the local park, or, you know, earlier on in the mobility journey, AI can guarantee to you that with Glide, it will be much, much easier for them to do that. They don't need to learn the cane technique on day one. They could learn the cane technique on day three. But, you know, what does it mean about, you know, how much orientation and mobility skills can they acquire on their own? When do they get orientation and mobility training? I think these questions are very important, and ones to really start to understand. We're talking with orientation and mobility instructors. I mean, I'd love if anybody has thoughts on these questions on this call. I'm more than happy to explore what this means. I don't have the answers, but what I do know is that there are a lot of people out there who have not had or had basic orientation and mobility training, but are fundamentally not independent. They don't go out with their cane. Then it's entirely possible that they will find Glide to be more, give them more confidence to get out and about.
Hey, Larry, can I ask a question? This is Alan.
We actually have four hands now with Alan. Go ahead.
Hey,
yeah,
five hands now.
Yeah, Amos, if you explain this and I missed it, I apologize. But it sounds like this thing has two handles on it, because you mentioned
one
something
handle.
About
one handle.
Are both hands on the thing, or are both your hands are on there? Because it's giving you a left and right indication, or did I?
No, it's one handle.
Uh-huh.
The handle feels a little bit like where you hold the handle of a service dog, if you've had a chance to do that.
It reminded me of a vacuum cleaner, the way it felt in my hands. I mean, or, you know, just the overall shape of the unit itself. And the handle is a wide handle, so your hand kind of fits right in the middle of it.
That's right.
So are you using it with one hand or two hands?
One hand,
I guess.
Yeah, one hand, and your hand is around, is near your waist, or it could be hanging on your left or right, depending which hand you choose to use, exactly like where the harness of a dog would be.
Okay.
But what I was talking about is that there is a haptic actuator, so a thing that vibrates on both, one on each side of the handle, so that it can give you indications on the left or the right of your hand, of your palm.
Okay, that's good. So, okay. A quick practical question. I've never used a dog, and I still have some vision, but I do use a cane whenever I go out. Does it have like a little basket or anything that hangs on anywhere that you could like carry stuff in, or not? If y'all is that not practical? Maybe I'm not picturing how it is, but.
So you're asking if it has a carrier to put something like a cup of coffee or a phone? Or...
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll tell you that in the development of the device, it is very important for me that this is a device that we're all going to love as a mobility aid.
Sure.
And part and parcel of that is that it's made of good materials and it feels good in the hand and behaves
and
well.
It's light, yeah.
So my co-founder on the team, Kyle Buzzard, he is an industrial designer. And we are taking design as like the physical and interaction design as a very, very sort of central piece of the company's work. And one of the things that Kyle is is already designing into sort of the future, sort of the next iteration of the prototype, is the ability to expand, enhance the device with accessories, right?
Right.
If you wanted to add a cup holder, then we can look, you know, it could be that somebody will go and print or design cup holders for Glide, and you can add it to, yeah? Or if you wanted to have something that holds your phone, or if you want, we have very interesting requests around,
sure.
You know, I wouldn't say decorating, but, you know, adding some character to your Glide and so on. So sure. These are the kind of things that interesting that people have asked for. And yeah, that's kind of
okay.
Excellent. I'm thinking. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Looks like Marty is first.
I'm concerned with getting in and out of automobiles. Does the Glide collapse like a folding cane? That's what I use all the time is my folding cane. I love it because I fold it up and tuck it away. And I'm thinking of getting on and off of buses, in and out of cars. Is it collapsible in that way?
Yeah, and we've gotten even more feedback on that at CSUN and have noted it. Glide does telescope. So that you can collapse it, and we want to collapse it even more from what the current size is, so it can fit in an overhead compartment on a plane.
Oh yeah,
and under the seat in front of you, or indeed when you get into a car, you should be able to collapse it and get between your feet in the vehicle. You shouldn't have to. And the same with the bus. So if you get onto a bus,
okay,
you should be able to collapse a device, go up the steps, find a seat, or maybe use the device to find a seat, and then collapse it and fit it under your feet. That's the goal. I know that Kyle has got that as a significant requirement. The current prototype collapses, but not as small, and hopefully the next iteration of the prototype will do an even better job at that.
And the gentleman before who was asking about the handle, is it usable with the left hand or the right hand, or do you have to hold it in the center?
It's ambidextrous, yeah.
It's you ambidextrous. Can use it
with either. Okay. Yeah. We're trying to figure out how to inform Glide which hand you're using it, because obviously it has to worry about the opposite shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to know which hand you're using it. So that might be a setting through the companion app, or it might be maybe a switch or something. We're trying to.
So this is going to be able to detect things that are above your head. Like when I'm walking down the sidewalk and someone doesn't cut their tree branches away from the sidewalk, there's low leaves smacking me in the head all the time. I carry a pair of pocket pruners around for that purpose. But I wonder,
maybe
would this
talking
be able to
about
detect
the accessories, maybe we should put a place for your pocket pruner on.
Yeah, because it'd be nice to be warned when I was about to be smacked in the face by a wet branch. Yeah. You know,
it is something we're working on. I would like to say that it's going to be there on version one. It might. I hope so, because we use the way that the device sort of reads the environment is that around the rim or the bottom of the device, there is an array of radars.
Hmm.
And the radars are really used for range detection of obstacles and dropped curbs and so on. And then there is a camera at the top of the handle, and the camera has a wide view of all the scene in front of you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's the combination of the radars and the camera that give the device all the input that it needs in order to make its navigation decisions. We are looking at ways to use radars in other ways on the device, and one of them is a radar on the handle that could point out, like in front of you and but above upwards so that it can detect overhead obstacles. Those are things that we are looking at. I
sticking out on the
definitely
side.
See that as a requirement, and that would be great if that comes through.
I mean, the regular cane doesn't detect all that stuff, so that'd be great. No.
Marty, we're gonna move on. If you make it quick, because we got 12 hands, and I want to see if we Bluetooth. Can get to them all.
Bluetooth. Can you listen to it through Bluetooth? In a loud environment, you won't be able to hear the speakers in the handle.
Yeah, if you want to, you can. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Okay, Sharon is next.
One, I had two things. One, have you ever thought about trying to get some kind of system to where somebody could attach it to a walker? And the other question is, we live in a building where the walls down the hall are not straight. Some stick out and then they go back in. And my husband doesn't have the spatial skills to be aware that wall's coming up. And I'm thinking this would probably help him with that route.
Yeah, so I'll be quick so that we can allow. But first of all, to your first question, we do get the question about walkers regularly, and that is something that is something that we are considering on how we could potentially leverage the technology in a more modular way to put into walkers. I would say that will come further down the line, though, not on day one. But it's a question that we regularly get. So thank you for putting that up.
If you need anybody to help experiment, I have to use one every now and then because of my vestibular ear disorder.
Yeah, no, I understand that's a requirement, and we it's definitely one that we're taking very seriously. I would say on walls that are not don't have a straight even wall, that's where Glide will work very well because it shorelines to the general direction that you're going. It's not necessarily each every curb that you in the wall that you go past.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Very interesting presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's go to area code 518.
This is Mary Beth. I have a couple of just quick questions. Hi, this has been a very interesting presentation.
Thank you.
I guess my first general question is this designed to be used like by itself or in conjunction with a cane or a guide dog? And also, is there like an override? So say my Glide stops, says can't get through, but I know I have to go, is there something that I can like override it? And then one last quick thing, say for instance, if you're going from home, can you like set a landmark for it? So that if you want it to go back, if you get in range, it would say, okay, home is here. Thank you.
I listened to your second two questions, but I forgot what the first one
Oh, sorry. I was curious as to whether or not it was more. It sounds like it's supposed to be used by itself, but I wasn't.
Oh, yes.
If it was also possibly used in conjunction. You can't be replaced, Kiki, with a cane or a guide dog.
So it is designed as a primary mobility aid that is used large, by itself. So I don't see how you wouldn't use it together with a guide dog. Use it at the same time as a cane, like tapping the cane as well as gliding. But I do think that, and I've used it myself, and I've seen others who like to hold a cane in the other hand more for prodding. And just keeping that other side of the body a little, just a little safe, sure. So I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be a mode of use. But generally it's not really designed to be used in conjunction with another mobility.
I didn't think so, but I just wanted to make
sure. Overrides. So first of all, you can Glide has this freestyle steering. So basically, if you know the way, you can tell, you can steer the handle and tell it Glide where to go. But what it'll do, it'll keep you safe, avoid obstacles, keep you on the safe path. It can detect line of sight targets, but you are driving. Okay, it's not taking you anywhere. Okay. You're driving. So that's like, you know, like an extra smart
cane. Can you tell I'm a control freak?
Absolutely. And it's a great question about override. Yeah, I mean, maybe we do need, we'll see if it's an issue. For example, if it gets narrow, Glide will just tell you to slow down and maybe partially apply the brake, but still let you push through. Yeah, Glide is not intended to control you in any way. But it will inform you if it can't get through. But if you push through and there's a wall there, then it'll just bump into the wall, right? So, and if there isn't, then you can carry on walking.
Yeah, right.
And she was asking about landmarks as to whether it could give you turn by turn instructions if you wanted to go back home or to an area.
So that's an area we have sort of still some thinking to do, but where basically we have kind of a number of approaches. One is what we call is where you train Glide pre-mapped routes. If there are routes that you do regularly or that you, it's a new route for you, you can have somebody train Glide on that route, walk that route, to memorize the route, and then Glide can repeat. Take you on that route. Yeah, so that can be very useful for us if you move to, let's say, a new building or a new floor, and you need to relearn your routes on that floor. You could train Glide on those routes and do them quickly, and then sort of over time build your confidence. In terms of training it to landmarks, one of the things that we are really exploring is. You know, I after working on Soundscape for many years, I don't think that Glide needs its own navigation app. One of the goals that we are trying to work towards, and we'll see how the next year plays out, but I want to build a great mobility aid that can work with other people's navigation apps. So you may use the markers from Soundscape, or you'd use landmarks that you can create with other apps, and Glide will take you to them. Or we can look at also if that becomes necessary to provide landmarks in that way. But you know, maybe those landmarks are already in somebody else's navigation app, and that you just use that. So that's sort of the line of thinking. But I would say that we are a good 6 months before that will start to consolidate.
All right. Next question.
Okay, Ron. Cindy.
You already answered one of the questions, but tell me about using Glide in the rain or using it on ice or snow.
So Glide will be water resistant, waterproof. You can use it in the rain. You can drive through a puddle and it'll be fine. Challenges with snow, there's a multitude of challenges. Depending on how much of snow, whether it can actually steer, right? And the second is whether it can actually detect the sidewalk. And for both of those questions, on the Lala one, I would say, so one of the things that we are building with Glide is over the air updates, a bit like the Tesla model, where Glide will improve over time and get to deal with more and more complex situations over time. And we'll have to see where we get to with snow out of the gate and where that's something that we will have to make improvements over time. And the same with ice.
Thanks.
Yeah. So those that's the current thinking.
Okay, Myrna, you're next.
So let's go back to the street crossings. Think about when you were getting your guide dog, what was one of the things that you'd, I know Guiding Eyes did a lot, and I think other schools, remember the traffic checks, and the dog would stop, and the car is going out of that driveway, or,
yes
do you remember that? And you're going across the street,
and what's one of the disobedience.
Right. And what's one of the reasons that maybe I do, I'm waiting for like almost a year right now for another dog. It's killing me. But anyway, I would take your glide in a minute over that cane, let me tell you. But one of the reasons is that we know, and you know, we trust our dogs, and we know that you're crossing a street, that dog will pull you back or will stop if it has to stop. And I think it's important because, you know, there are people, you know, and they say, oh, yeah, but I don't like dogs. Yeah, I know a dog does that. I don't like dogs. Or, oh, it's too much work to do a dog. But, you know, and I think it's important if it could be done, you know, so that it's going to do what a guide dog does, which is either stop if, you know, we'll pull you back, or if you say forward and there's a car coming, you're right, intelligent disobedience. Don't, like you said, like I know you said, if you're going to go to the right and you try to go to the right, but it's not safe, the, you know, the glide won't let you go to the right. Well, the guide should not let you go forward. And I'm thinking that if it's possible, you know, that really would be a great thing. The other thing is when you come to the curb or when it stops because, you know, you're at a step or a flight of steps, do you do it what we do with a guide dog where you put your foot out and find out why it stopped?
The second answer is much easier.
Okay.
Or the second question. So okay. Yes. So thank you for the, both of those. And I do agree that road crossings is a very critical part of this experience. You know, feeling confident to get around. So in terms of how you approach the curb, glide will buzz on the handle to tell you to slow down, and then when it reaches the curb, it will apply the brakes. And at that point, you can actually walk and have glide move to a vertical position, and you can, then your feet are in line with the wheels of glide. You can test what the situation is. And when you decide to cross, you pull the handle back again and it will release and continue to go.
That's good.
That's the design that we're working on for road crossings. The added capability that we are looking at, and I think it will be it'll definitely be there, and I expect it will be there from the beginning, is that it could also tell you why it stopped, because there's voice in the handle, so it could tell you road crossing, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Or door, or so,
or
so,
steps, why did steps,
or steps, maybe. Exactly,
yeah.
What I'll say about the intelligent disobedience when you're crossing a road, I am definitely noting that again. And we will definitely look for ways to make that an experience. And, you know, one of the things that we know with the dog is that it does a reasonably good job if the car is pretty close, right? Mm-hmm. On the left, on the right, or in the way, or coming. The revving of the engine is an important aspect of it. So, you know, these are things that we'll just have to work into it and see what's feasible.
Oh, it sounds good.
But I appreciate you emphasizing that because
that's one of the big reasons why, you know, mm-hmm. and think about, as I say, when you got that training, that big deal about the traffic checks and what they did, and they always were stressing it, and you know, people with a cane, you know, that's one of the big things that you lose, that you really, you know, you're paying attention. Of course, you have to, even with a dog, you got to pay attention. I mean, you hear that the car is coming, you're not going to cross. I mean, you'd be stupid if you said forward. But, you know, sometimes you're in the middle of the thing, or the car's coming out of that driveway or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hybrid cars today, hybrid cars.
That's right. The hybrid cars. Yeah.
And that's another element.
Yeah.
The silent ones. Yeah.
Okay. Area code 951.
Hi, this is Nancy. I'm Nancy Unger, and I have a guide dog, and I do use a cane occasionally. But is there any way? I think you say you might maybe get it to work with good maps or something, or do you have to know your route, don't you? You cannot. There are no commands that where you can actually create a route and have it. There's no vocal and there's no voice input at all. And right, and then when's it going to be available, and what does it cost? Thank you.
Thank you. So there is voice input. And we are working to kind of figure out exactly, I mean, there is a microphone and we're working to understand kind of the kind of voice input and output that the device will work through. You can program the device on routes that you regularly do. So you can freestyle, you can go on pre-mapped routes, or you can go, and when you freestyle, by the way, I want to kind of emphasize the point of it being able to detect line of sight targets, like doors, dropped curbs, and so on, so that you can actually do that last mile challenge. And then when it comes to choosing a destination, like if you're in a building and you want to choose the meeting room, or if you are outdoors and you want to choose a restaurant, our current thinking is, like you said, and if it's good maps, is really to work with good maps so that Glide can navigate through the building that they have mapped. But that's something that we are still working through. There are a lot of benefits of working with other apps because they, you know, if you go into Target, you may be better off using the Target app to choose which products you want and where they are, and then Glide will take you there, right? Or if you're in an airport, having a well-mapped airport that if you choose your gate and Glide will take you all the way to the gate, but now we need the map for the airport. So these kind of things we will be working through in the coming year. I do believe that using somebody else's app could be beneficial rather than us trying to do everything.
And then she was asking.
Oh, and price, you want to get the prices and deliver and shipping times now?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so our current, we have not announced pricing. We will be launching pre-orders in the spring when we will announce pricing. But as a guide, you can take what it costs, basically a cell phone. That's sort of the range. I know that it's that in itself can be a pretty wide range, and we will be more specific on pricing. But the goal is really that it should be a device that, if it's valuable enough, most people should be able to afford before we get to the point that federal funding and state funding can provide some cover. So that's sort of the range of pricing. In terms of delivery timelines, as I said, we'll be starting to take pre-orders in the spring. And then we are about a year out before those pre-orders will actually be delivered.
Thank you.
We will see beta devices in the autumn, and people who pre-order, there will be there will put the potential opportunity to get beta devices.
Okay, interesting. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, area code 970.
Hi, this is Catherine, and I'm interested in how Glide will detect ramps, or how it will detect like a big branch in your way.
Yes, so it will consider a ramp if a ramp is available to be a preferred option, unless you have a different preference, and that may be something that we put in preferences. But essentially, because it's wheeled, a ramp will usually be a better option.
Okay.
And we would be looking to make sure that the device can avoid overhead obstacles as well. Talked about
The branch is what I meant was on the ground.
Oh,
a big
on
branch
the ground.
On the
okay,
ground.
Sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's okay.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a setting. Obviously, if the branch is completely blocking the way, then Glide will block, and you might have to do an off curb obstacle or move the branch. If Glide can get over it, we think that there will be a setting to like some people just want to plow through everything and say, okay, well, there's some stones and, you know, discontinuities on the ground. I'm just going to kind of skip over them and walk over them because I'm fine with it. And other people would want Glide to be a little bit more careful with what it's gliding you through and take you around discontinuities like a branch on the ground. And I it's interesting that we hear different preferences from different people. So I think that that's, I mean, Glide will be able to spot them. The question is what it does with them. You know, does it consider it the path or an obstacle?
And also ergonomic handles, I use the offset handle with four of my guide dogs, previous guide dogs. Will you offer something like that?
So when you say the offset handle, you mean the one that's that the wrist is at a diagonal?
Yes, it curves either outward or inward towards your body or away from your body, but it's straight, for example. And they call that an offset handle. It kind of makes an S shape.
Okay, but so basically it allows the dog to be further to the right.
Away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with Glide, it's less of an issue because it's in front of your leg.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
But I would like to just validate that. I mean, there's different possibilities, but okay. I just need to kind of better understand if there is more to it than just making sure that the dog is out of the, you know, further away.
Okay. And also, how do you become a beta tester, please?
So we encourage everyone to go to our website, glidance.io, and sign up. And that's really the best way, to be informed about developments. We hold Zoom calls every month, last Wednesday of every month, which are open for people to dial in, ask questions, and hear the latest updates. So glidance.io. And sign up there. It's a very simple sign up form. And with that, we will also be make you aware of the pre-orders. And when we get nearer to our beta, if you indicate in the extra notes that you're interested to be a beta tester, we will clarify the plans around the beta devices. We don't have the plan just yet.
Thank you very much. A wonderful presentation. I've been waiting for this for a very long time. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. We definitely want to take the devices to different settings. We have people who want to take them to independent living facilities and office blocks and airports and travel and so on. And we will definitely, for the beta program, look to expose the device to different settings so that we can get as much feedback before the device ships.
You mentioned different settings. Have you tried it yet on the beach, in the sand? And does that matter?
The current device will not work on the sand. The next iteration will do better on sand. The wheels of the current device are too narrow and heavy. They'll just slide right into the sand.
Okay, right. Robin is next.
But I do have two very quick ones. The first one is, how do you spell glidance? Is it A-N-C-E or E-N-C-E?
It's the word guidance with an L.
Yes, glidance. G-L-I-D-E-N-C-E?
A-N-C-E.
A-N-C-E.
I said, it's the word guidance, an L.
With an L. Perfect. Okay. And my second question is, so say I buy the first iteration of this device, without having to buy a new one, is there some kind of program that you're going to have for upgrades?
So our goal is to build what we call headroom into the version, and we are not intending to release a new version every year. The way that you will get updates is through software updates.
Okay.
So the device will become more and more capable, and more both new features as well as improved features. Like, I'll give you an example. I think curb approaches is a really interesting challenge. Yeah. I expect in the beginning that curb approaches will not be perfect, but the more we do curb approaches, the better our machine learning algorithms will understand them, and we'll all have better curb approaches. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so that's how we're looking at it. So that's our approach. You'll be able to buy it and keep it for a number of years and get updates.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, area code 510, you're next.
Steve Mendelson here. Mr. Miller, I want to wish you great success with your work, but I want to pursue this question of exposing your device to various settings. And this brings me to the analogy, or breakdown of the analogy, between autonomous vehicles and the guidance. Well, autonomous vehicles, once a blind person gets into the vehicle, assuming they can find it, of course, they have no particular role. The vehicle makes all the decisions, and there is no role for the user. Here, by contrast, there's a tremendous role for the user. And therefore, even in situations where the normative response to a given environmental variable might be this or that, various users will have different approaches or different responses. And I'm wondering how you take that into account in what, I guess, for lack of a better term, I'll call your machine learning process.
I think you make great points there. And I often have to explain this to investors as well. And I think for us as blind folks, it's pretty obvious, but not so for many other people. The actual autonomous demands on Glide are much simpler than autonomous vehicles because, hey ho, there is an intelligent user involved in the mix, right? It's not only the intelligent device, there's an intelligent person there who's making sense of the environment just as much as the device is, and making rational, good decisions about what to do and what not to do. And that's why I think of the device as something that we talked about agency, right, in the beginning, where the user has a lot of agency, and the role of the device is to guide but also to inform so that you can make decisions about what you want to do. And that has to do with the overrides, it has to do with the speed, it has to do with twisting the handle, it has to do with choices that you make. So I think also as you'll have as a device sort of learns from your own behavior, it will start to learn your preferences and style as well.
Okay, Abby, you're next.
You were talking about settings. So would you set these on the device itself, or does it come with an app where you would configure it?
It'll be either with an app or on the website if you don't use the app.
Okay.
So you can go onto the website. Every user will have a user ID. So all the information about them is tied to their user ID. And you can use the companion app if you prefer, or you can go on to our website. It's not there right now, so but by signing up right now, I mean you'll
right.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, with pleasure.
Okay, Carla.
Oh wow, this sounds great. Do you have to use it with an iPhone, or is it independent? And how does it handle steps? I'm still confused about that.
It doesn't handle steps. That's a very simple answer. It will get you to the steps. It may inform you that these are steps going up or down. It could tell you that the rail is on the left or on the side, on the right. But you will have to. If you're going down, you can either roll it down the steps, or you can pick it up, and we'll make sure that there is a handle that is, makes it very easy to pick it up, and you just walk down the steps by holding the handle. You can also, but you can also wheel it up and down if you prefer to do that. Either way can work, but it doesn't really steer you on the steps, at least not in the current design. And by the way, I just want to make sure that, and I clarify that for people, but we think that there's enough challenges to resolve before we have to make a step climbing robot. That will increase the cost significantly. And in my based on the work and research that we've done, I believe that it's a fair trade-off. I'm happy to hear if people think otherwise, but a step climbing robot is going to make it much more expensive and much more prone to breakage.
You need an iPhone to operate it.
Oh, do we need an iPhone? Like I said earlier, it's a self-working device. It's not, you don't need an iPhone or an Android phone, but you can use the companion app for setup and certain choices, but you can also use a computer for that.
Okay, Jeannie, you're next.
Yes, I'm wondering if I bought something like the Stellar Trek, you know, which is, it kind of tells you when you're crossing streets. I haven't used it yet, but I'm wondering about, see, where I live right now, if there are no sidewalks, and it's just a big round bunch of circles and roundabouts. So when you're walking, there's no real way to tell where you are. And I was just wondering, you know, I mean, especially finding my way back to my building, which is building T, which is, it's like, really, it's like a big, big, big circle that this whole thing is, that this whole setting is in. And I was just wondering, would it work, say, if I bought a, something like a
glide?
Oh, yeah, the glide. If I bought the glidance with, in conjunction with the Stellar Trek or something like that, would that work?
I think I we probably need to take it offline and understand your situation better. Glide will work to keep you, if you, for example, are shorelining against the edge of a road that doesn't have a sidewalk, then Glide will shoreline along that sidewalk, along that edge of the road.
You see, there are no sidewalks in this complex, none.
Yeah.
There are no sidewalks, and there's not even always a grass line to shoulder against.
Right. So in that case, you may just need to use line of sight targeting, or you would train the device, or you can, I think there's different ways that the glide should be able to address that requirement.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Area 407.
Okay, and I may have missed this. I got slightly distracted for a minute or two.
That's okay.
There are times that you have to pick up this item, as you talked about, like moving up and down steps or folding it to, you know, if you're going to go on a bus or something like that. Approximately how much does this weigh? And also, I know that you answered this question for Nancy. I didn't understand what you were saying about the cost. I know you said you didn't have it yet, but you said something comparatively speaking or something, or it would be in the line of whatever, which I didn't completely understand.
On the cost, we are looking at a cell phone. At what it costs to own a cell phone.
Okay, so that's what I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and what was the previous question? Just
and about approximately how much does it weigh?
Oh, the weight. Yeah, we are working to the goal is 5 pounds.
Okay.
Plus minus, but that's the goal that we're working to.
Okay, that helps. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, okay, area code 518.
Just got one quick question. Have you done anything with visibility, you know, like so that it would be like, you know, in the rain or at night, that it would be more readily discernible? Thank you.
Great question. we are making sure that the sensor technology that we are using has redundancy, which means that it will be able to have capability also when there's poor lighting or no lighting or visibility issues. That's part of the reason that we use the radars, because they're very good in poor lighting or no lighting situations. I wouldn't be able to make to say at this point that you will get full function in low visibility. So it may not, if there's no visibility, it may not be able to detect a door in the distance in the fog. But I would say that we will definitely look to ensure that that the core capabilities are maintained even in poor visibility and lighting conditions.
Okay, Don, you're next.
Hi, Don.
Appreciate it. I am very, very interested in your device. I've been traveling with a cane for 60 years. I consider myself a pretty darn good cane traveler, and I live in Midtown Manhattan, so it gets very, very crowded on the sidewalks at times, to the point where you can hardly use a cane sometimes. But what I really wanted to ask you, to make things brief, is most of the time with a lot of devices, once there is a danger perceived, that's the only danger it's really capable of doing anything about at that point. So for example, let's say, for example, you are walking along a subway platform with tracks on both sides, and it was a fairly narrow platform. If it detected that you were veering a little bit and going closer to the right side edge, would it still have the capability to acknowledge with respect to the left-hand edge, if there was dangers coming up, like a column in the middle of the platform or something like that, and recognize both dangers at the same time and present them appropriately?
So the way it works is that it looks at the environment in front of it. It establishes what are safe, what are like possible floor spaces, if you like.
Sure.
And what is a possible, what's the safest feasible path within these options?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really looking at one thing versus another versus another. It's looking at all of them at the same time. It builds a map in its in the computer, and does the segmentation, and then figures out a path. So in that case, if you were between the platform and there was a pole or somebody standing there in the way, it will have to determine whether, obviously with a platform, you know, I say it to my team often, dropped curbs on the sides are the most dangerous things, whatever they are.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Dropped curbs on the sides is what we have to watch for. Everything else we can manage. So it will have to determine whether there's enough space to take you around that obstacle without getting you close to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And if there isn't, it will have to apply the brake and hopefully explain to you why it can't continue.
So I don't want to be rude and prolong this, but will you have a setting to say, well, I know you don't have much of a point of reference here, but I'm facing correctly now, keep me going straight.
So that's the override button. Yeah.
So in other words,
we will never stop you. So we'll apply the brake, and if you're pushing forward, you will be able to push it forward, and we'll just keep the buzz on the handle going to say, slow down, slow down, slow down, until it opens up. But if you insist.
So what I'm worried about is a mode to say, I want to have the device make sure that I stay very, very straight on the path mm-hmm. that I'm walking, so that I don't veer to the left or the right where I could possibly fall off an edge. And if I am veering, I want it to tell me what to do to stop that, or, you know.
And even if you could single file, right? That you, like, the thing with the device is that you can walk quite widely with it. Like, you can have it in your right hand, but sometimes the device, if the device tells you to slow down, single file, you can, like, literally get right behind it.
Yeah.
Right? And even twist your body a little bit to the side so that you can sort of fit in a really narrow path. Yeah.
Yeah.
And go through. And I think that that's absolutely, I think that we, and we have all the data to do it. It comes back to the interaction. How do you know that this is the situation you're facing? How does Glide help you understand that this is a situation you're facing and how you're working together to get through it?
Yes. Awesome. Well, okay. I'm
interested. You said
try to be a beta tester.
One of the questions I get, you said that you are a very confident cane user.
Yes.
What are the reasons that you feel that this is, that something like Glide would be something you'd want to add to your sort of arsenal?
Well, I am a very confident cane user. But I'm also getting older. I'm in my 70s now, and I can still travel very well. But it takes more concentration and more effort than it did when I was 20. And I have very, very good spatial perception. But it's diminished considerably from when I was 20 or 30 years old. At that time, I could detect a column in front of me, sometimes almost 30 feet in front of me. I could tell it was there if there was nothing in the way. And I could actually use it as a guide to, say, keep going straight on a subway platform, for example. But that's a lot harder for me now. So now it has to be within 8 feet or 10 feet so that I can deal with it. And, also, there are times, because the sidewalks and the streets have so many potholes and this and that and the other thing, that with a cane, it gets caught in something, you end up veering, and in the middle of the street, that's not a great thing. And there have been times when I've crossed crooked, even though I tried not to, or sometimes because I'm afraid I might veer, I might overcompensate when I really shouldn't. So to have that device know that I'm crossing a street and want to tell me, you're veering, turn a little left and go straight, keep going straight, you know, blah, blah, blah. Maybe it has a tone that varies in pitch when you put it in non-veer mode or something to let you know when you're going off axis. I think that could be very helpful.
Thank you for sharing, Don. I appreciate it.
Can't do, but I don't want to take the whole meeting. So.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. We can always talk offline. If you register, we can definitely keep in touch. Thank you, Don.
Thank you very much. We're going to take one more hand. It's the blind educator, and that will be the last hand.
Hello, and I think one was somewhat answered, but just to be sure, and I have two questions though. The first one, the one that was somewhat answered, would be, is it going to have the ability kind of like OCO and the iOS app, or the new feature with the Stratus Trek, where it would detect the crosswalk and it will alert me if I am gearing into traffic?
So we are actually talking to OCO, and we will be exploring a conversation with the Stella Trek as well to see if the devices can work together. Because again, I think that they provide a lot of benefits around mapping, and obviously OCO provides a great benefit around use of traffic signals that could be beneficial to combine. So we'll see where we get to on that, but definitely avoiding veering or on road crossings is a major goal of Glide.
My other question, quick question, would be, I work for a school district, and next year my student will be going up to camp. How will Glide be effective if I were to go with the student and get around within like a forest camp area?
So let me suggest, I think Larry and John will probably be looking to close the call very soon. Yeah. Please drop me a line if you register, and just put that in the tell me more field, and we can continue this conversation offline. I'd love to learn more about what you're doing and see how we can help. We also have the email gliders@glidance.io that you guys can email, but I'd prefer if you registered first so that we can actually keep track of the conversations. So again, Glidance.
I believe I'm registered, but I'll re-register just to be sure.
Okay. Or drop me a line on gliders.io.
Okay.
Gliders@glidance.io. Sorry, I'm not being very helpful here. And just a reminder that we also have our Zoom calls every month that folks who want to join and continue the conversation.
Yes, I believe one's tomorrow.
There's one on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. On Wednesday.
Yeah.
Excellent. Amos, I have my last question, and this is one that's asked by a lot of people. Well, I can't remember if I asked you this at CSUN or not, but this device runs on batteries. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is it one of those replaceable batteries, or is it a big battery that comes with the unit and you can't get to it?
You know, we got that question a lot at CSUN. At the moment, it's under the device. We definitely got a lot of questions about if it can be a replaceable battery, so we'll definitely be looking into that. It is an all-day battery, though, so the idea is that you leave home in the morning, come home in the evening, put it to charge, and it's ready to go the next day. We know that we want to have control and additional power, so we will look into that. We are also looking into wheel-powered charging, but we're still testing that, so I don't want to make any claims on that yet.
Mm. Excellent. Fascinating. This has been a fascinating hour. Actually, a fascinating 75 minutes.
Yes.
and the interest is obviously there because you had a lot of reaction at CSUN, and I'm sure you will at the shows this summer as well. And we're delighted.
Yeah, we had
68
had like
people?
66, 68. Yeah, upper 60s. Yeah, good crowd. Good crowd.
And we thank you so much for being with us. It's been fascinating.
Thank you for the engagement. Look, John, Larry, I mean, this is... It's we can only do it with this kind of engagement and figure out exactly. I mean, a lot of the questions that people asked represent requirements that we have to think about. Some of them we have to think about ourselves. Some of them we have to think about together with you guys and figure out exactly how to solve some of these problems. As I really appreciate.
And maybe what we should do is definitely set something up so that we have you back right before you launch. Yeah. And then we can talk about some of the things that have changed between now and then. And it's a good jumping off point for people who may want to hear what's changed and purchase Glide.
Thank you.
So we'll definitely do that. Larry, what are we doing next week?
Next week is, I wish I were part of this for next week, but I don't have anything to add. But it is our annual CSUN wrap-up. Those who went to CSUN... many of them are coming by to chat about their experiences. If you went to CSUN and you have not been perhaps contacted by John and you'd like to chat about what you thought about CSUN, then let us know. That's next week here on Tech Talk.